Welcome to The Capital Connection, a weekly conversation on New York State government and politics. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for The Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's The Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. This week, what a week! It's columnist and Albany bureau chief of the New York Daily News, Ken Lovett. Ken Lovett is in the thick of it, knows more about this stuff than anybody I know. He's the best journalist in Albany. Welcome back, Ken.
It's good to be here.
So let's talk a little bit about this. We got de Blasio. We got Cuomo. There's a lot of problems right now. Let's start with the de Blasio people. What's up?
De Blasio right now is the subject, his administration, of not one, not two, not three, not four, but five separate investigations. It's just a feeding frenzy right now. The one that's gotten a lot of attention is the fact that he and his campaign team coordinated the effort to help the Senate Democrats in 2014 capture the control of the Senate, which was unsuccessful. But now they're being investigated for potentially trying to figure out a way to evade campaign contribution limits.
And how did they allegedly do that?
Well, what they did was they went to all these different people and entities that had business before the city. John Katsimatidis, who's a supermarket mogul, once ran for mayor. Christides. They went to unions, all these New York City interests, and they asked them to donate to $50,000, $100,000 to the upstate county committees. Now, why is this an important distinction? A Senate candidate individually was allowed in 2014 to receive $10,300. The county committees, however, were allowed to receive $103,600. And by law, county committees can then transfer unlimited amounts to individual candidates. So what the feds are looking into is, was this a way to say, we want to give Cece Kasich, who was running at the time, right, who was a senator at the time, we want to give her the maximum $103,600. So give it to the county committee, and then they'll just transfer. Basically a money laundering
scheme.
But
this has been going on forever, hasn't it?
Yeah, although the new thing was, A, using the outside interest, but beyond that, way beyond that, was the use of the county committees. None of these county committees had ever received donations like this. The fact that it was done by New York City interests with business before the city. Look, I wrote about these stories in 2014. Mm-hmm. And at the time, John Katsimatidis said to me, I was at an event. The mayor approached me. He said, can you donate some money for this cause? I said, sure, because I wanted to show him a team player. He's a new mayor. The next day, the mayor's campaign finance guy called him and said, all right, can you write a check for $50,000 and send it to the Putnam County Democratic Committee? And that's what he did.
Wow. And so if you're a federal prosecutor, it's not incumbent on you to say, wait a second, we think people have been giving money to county committees for years in order to give to transfer the money to other state races, which have limits on them. You just have to say, I think this is violative of the law, right?
Well, you would think the de Blasio people are arguing two points. They're saying, one, nothing illegal happened. And then two, they're saying that this is selective prosecution. And they keep implying, they keep saying it's a political attack on them. And they're pointing the finger without using his name at Governor Cuomo, who has obviously been at war with de Blasio.
Now, they think Cuomo dropped the dime on de Blasio. There's some speculation.
I had a story two Fridays ago that had a report that was done by Risa Sugarman, who is the Board of Elections Chief Enforcement Officer.
And a former Cuomoite.
Still a Cuomoite. Right, right. She was his appointment, and she goes back to 2007. This report was a referral, a criminal referral that went to the Manhattan District Attorney's Office saying that we think that the de Blasio team willfully violated laws and should be subject to potential criminal prosecution.
What if there was a middle-of-the-night phone call between, you know, sort of just say him and her on this issue.
Look, you know, as far as I can't say what happened or didn't happen. I'm not going to say who gave me the report or who didn't give me the report. But I will say this, in terms of getting something like that, you know, nobody gives you, in journalism, it's very rare someone gives you a story out of the goodness of their heart. For the most part, everyone has an agenda. And as a journalist, I don't care what that agenda is. As far as I'm concerned, if it's a legitimate story, you pursue it. If it's not a legitimate story, then you don't pursue it.
As I've always told my students, if the guy is divorcing his wife and the wife calls you and said he's been cheating on his taxes, you know, for years, is it a story? Of course it's a story.
If it's real.
You don't care about her motive, do you?
No, I do not care about motive. And the mayor is certainly trying to make that a smokescreen because, you know, subpoenas have flown in the last few weeks to Emma Wolf, a top aide to the mayor, to Berlin Rosen, which is a consulting firm, well-connected, very close to the mayor, and others close to the mayor. So rather than deal with that, and they do say we don't think anything illegal happened, they're trying to pin it as, oh, this is a political witch hunt.
Okay. So you mentioned Governor Cuomo. On the and you know, the old three-ring circus, on the left-hand circus, we have the lions and the tigers. No, in the left-hand, we have Mayor de Blasio. In the center ring, we have Governor Cuomo.
Yeah, that that happened Friday. I got word that Joe Prococo, who is as close as you can get to the governor as anybody, was under investigation. I broke that on Friday afternoon. Basically, just to put it in perspective, and then we'll talk what he did, but Joe Prococo, at Mario Cuomo's funeral, Andrew Cuomo, during his eulogy, described Prococo as my father's third son, who sometimes I think he loved the most. That's how close. Prococo goes back to Mario Cuomo. He worked for Andrew Cuomo at HUD. He's been with him politically since 2002. You don't get closer than Prococo. Another person implicated or being eyed by the feds is a guy named Todd Howe. He's a D.C. lobbyist who also goes back to the Mario days, who also has been very close to both Prococo and to the governor. So these are two really big names close to the governor who are now under federal investigation. They are said to have possibly, Prococo, in an odd situation, went off the governor's payroll in 2014 to become his campaign manager for his reelection effort. At the same time, he apparently decided it was okay to be a political consultant, and he got consulting fees, supposedly, from two companies doing business with the state, particularly with the Buffalo Billion Project that's such a big deal for the governor upstate. And also, these two companies just happened to be big-time donors to the governor. In addition, Prococo's wife, unbeknownst to people, since 2012, has been working for this mysterious LLC that appears connected to an energy firm that has state business, and they're trying to build an energy plant down in Orange County. Prococo's wife, we don't know what she did for the money, but she's a former school teacher. So why she's working for this company now, nobody knows. You know, Prococo did put it on his campaign, his financial disclosures with the state. The governor this week was asked about it for the first time. And he says, yeah, you know, well, it's legal if you're not on the state payroll to have outside clients. And he told me he might do that. And, you know, reporter said, well, did he tell you who his clients were? And he says, no, we never talked about that, or even if he had any clients, which, you know, raised a lot of eyebrows that Prococo would say to him, I may take on some consulting work, but not go any further than that.
So Ken Lovett of the Daily News, let me see if I get this straight. He's on the state payroll. It would be foreboding if he was on the state payroll to be doing what he was doing. But he steps out of the state payroll, theoretically, to run Andrew's campaign.
Yes.
He still has the governor's ear. He's still really close to the governor. And yet, now he says, because I'm technically not working on the state side, on the state payroll, I can make a little money, a couple of $100,000 between me and my wife, right?
Yes. And even weirder, so in his filing, his financial filing, after he got back on the state payroll, which was in December of 2014 after the campaign, he, you know, the next year he put his financial filing in, and it showed that he worked for Core Development. He got something like $50,000 to $100,000, I forget exactly right now. But Core Development says, we never worked with Joe Prococo. We didn't have him on the payroll. We didn't pay him anything. So after the filing came out, you know, we called Core Development back and they gave the same statement but wouldn't elaborate. That's where Todd Howe could come in. Apparently, Todd Howe was the guy who helped Prococo get these outside gigs.
Now, let's remember Todd Howe works for this lobbying firm in Washington, which is a subgroup of Whiteman, Osterman, and Hanna, the most prolific, I mean, in terms of the number of people who work there, law firm in Albany. It's a sub-organization who works for Whiteman, right?
Yeah, it is. And beyond that, Whiteman and Howe have been involved in a lot of the Buffalo Billion projects. So it's not a surprise, then, that Prococo potentially got these gigs that had to do with companies that are dealing with the Buffalo Billion that have been hired and firms that would have hired involving the Buffalo Billion. So there's really a lot more unanswered questions than questions we know. We don't know what Prococo or his wife did for the money. We don't know, even though the governor said he wasn't, we don't know if Prococo was still being paid when he went back on. We don't know if Prococo had any involvement on any issues involving these firms once he went back on the payroll. We don't know if he had any informal conversations with the governor in terms of these issues. I mean, it's very strange that the campaign manager for the governor of the state of New York would take firms, you know, consulting work from firms that have business before that governor in that state.
Wow. My favorite part of the story is when they were obviously letting contracts to people that they sort of knew. And one of them was that they wanted one group to get it, allegedly. And they said, okay, one of the contractual things that you have to do is be in business for more than 50 years. And there was only one, and they had given a campaign contribution.
Oh, they gave more than a campaign. Right. They gave close to $100,000. The developer is a big developer in Buffalo named Louis Simonelli, his company. And his company, the way they wrote, and it was SUNY Polytechnic Institute. And
with an untouchable at its head.
Elaine Calieros, who's also being looked at by the feds into this stuff, and that we know. And what they're looking at is potential bid rigging. Because when they wrote these requests for proposals, you're right, it only impacted, it would have only made eligible Louis Simonelli's firm. After they got called on it, they said, oh, it was a mistake. They reworked the request for proposal. But lo and behold, who got the gig to build a $750 million plant for Solar City in Buffalo? Louis Simonelli.
Well, I love this story because they said that the 50 years was a typo, mm-hmm. and that it really was 15 years that you had to be in business. That's extraordinary. I mean, I want the clerk who is being blamed for the typo to come before a grand jury and under the fear of perjuring himself say exactly what happened and was it in fact a typo?
Again, a lot of unanswered questions. A lot of unanswered questions. It's not good for the governor who really has made the Buffalo Billion his signature project. The fact that it's under federal investigation. The governor, minutes after my story hit on Friday, his office put out a statement that they hired this guy, a lawyer who used to be in the U.S. Attorney's office when Rudy Giuliani was the U.S. attorney in the Southern District. He's going to do an internal review for Andrew Cuomo.
Paid for by whom?
Paid for by us, I believe, and by the taxpayers. And he's going to look into what happened with contracts. He's going to look into future contracts. Meanwhile, Cuomo, he's going to make recommendations. Meanwhile, Cuomo also has forbid his administration from any dealings, any communications, any emails, any dealings with Todd Howe and his company. It also has said that it was going to stop right now any regulatory or other discussions involving CPV, which is that energy company building the plant in Orange County.
That is the most amazing set of stories, basically, that as they come together. Now, we all remember that Andrew Cuomo, his biggest, you know, fault, according to most people, is the fact that when the Moreland Act Commission, which he had appointed to investigate potential criminal activity and graft and corruption, was smelling a little too close to God knows what. He says he gave it up to make a deal with the legislature. I've never quite bought that, by the way. I've always thought maybe they were sniffing around the governor's people, too. It doesn't much matter. Point is, in the middle of everything, he says, okay, Moreland Act Commission, you're all basically fired. Go home. Now he hires a former federal prosecutor to do this. What happens if the former federal prosecutor says, Now, Andrew, some things went on here which are very unkosher. They shouldn't have. Is he going to fire him, too?
He can't now. And the reason is, this guy, Schwartz, is not the only guy looking into this. There's another gentleman named Preparara, whose office is looking into this. And they, in fact, the Cuomo administration, before hiring Schwartz and before undertaking this, they called Preparara's office to tell him what they were. They got wind of what was going on. They also got hit with a subpoena, the administration did, on Friday. And they called and said, we're going to hire someone to do an internal review. We'll share everything we find with you as well. And so they did. They can't. It would be stupidity, frankly.
You don't think the Moreland Act Commission Act was
But you didn't
stupid?
Have anyone looking. Right now, you have a parallel and a more important investigation going on with the U.S. attorney. You can't come up with an alternate set of facts and try to whitewash this.
Okay, Ken Lovett of the Daily News. Why in the world, if you're Andrew Cuomo, would you hire a separate federal, potential federal investigator, who used to be a federal investigator, now a private lawyer, paid for by the taxpayers? Why would you do that if Pete Bharara is doing his investigation?
Because Schwartz is not looking for criminality. And if we know one thing about Andrew Cuomo, when there is a crisis or when there is something coming his way, the train is bearing down on the tracks, then Andrew Cuomo is going to spring into action and show that we're taking this seriously and we're going to do what we have to do. It wouldn't surprise me if in the next week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, we get a set of preliminary recommendations that they're going to implement to show, look, we think there could have been some wrongdoing. We're letting the U.S. attorney do his investigation. But in the meantime, we're going to take this action to make sure that nothing like this happens again.
So of all the challenges that Andrew has faced going into this, do you think this is the worst he's really had to look at?
I think potentially it certainly is, yeah. You know, having your former top aide and close friend go through this and having a lobbyist who has deep connections to you and others who are close to you like Elaine Calieros and others and donors like Simonelli, I think this is very serious. It has not touched the governor yet, and I'm not saying it will, but, you know, I'm sure Preet knows if there's anything to be had, and again, I'm stressing, I don't know if there is anything to be had, but if there is anything to be had on the governor, people like Prococo and Howe would have it.
So if the FBI goes knocking at your door and says, here's a subpoena, we're going to ask you a series of questions. If you lie, that's perjury, right? You could get into jail for that.
Yeah, and we actually saw that because Tom Libous, who actually the former deputy Senate Republican majority leader who just died this week of cancer, he actually was convicted of lying to the FBI. There was no recordings, there was no transcript, but the FBI said that he lied, and lo and behold, he was hit with a felony count by Preparara. He was convicted, and he ended up being sentenced to house arrest because he was so sick and he just died. But yeah, if you lied to the feds, they will go after you.
So there are some people who can lie, and there are some people who constitutionally think they can lie, but they can't lie when the moment of truth comes. You go before a grand jury, or you go before, and somebody asks you the question, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay, let's go from there to Shelley Silver.
What a week.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. You had a long and brilliant, I may say, piece in the Daily News about the goings-on with across the board. I guess here's what I want to know. Shelley Silver gets, what, 12 years?
12 years.
12 years. That's a lot for a 72-year-old man. And he's being made an example of. Mm-hmm. That there's no question.
Absolutely.
Okay. The legislature, out comes the Siena poll, says 97% of the people think that we got real hanky-panky problems in the legislature. We got to change them. And yet they will not do it. How crazy can they be as each of them gets carted off to the pokey?
Yeah, we seem to ask that question a lot, don't we? Every time something like this happens. I mean, the Silver thing is a big deal. You know, he's the highest ranking official to have been convicted in quite a while. You know, we had a governor who left under investigation. Nothing ever happened of it, Elliot Spitzer. But certainly the assembly speaker, and next week, the former Senate Republican majority leader, Dean Skelos, he goes before a judge to get sentenced for a separate corruption probe.
And does he get the same amount of time in jail? My bet is not, because he's going to sort of be dismissed as, oh, yeah, you know, I asked people for favors, but it was for my kid.
I think he'll get a stiff sentence, but it will not be the 12 years. I honestly thought Silver was going to get 15 to 20 only because The record had been 14 years, which was William Boyland, a no-name assemblyman from Brooklyn who was hit with bribery charges. Silver pocketed $5 million in his scheme, and just given his position, his powerful position in the two decades he was in office, I thought they would give him 15 just for the record to send a message. But 12 sends a message. And don't think Dean Skelos isn't afraid of that. Don't think, you know, people in Cuomo land and de Blasio land who are now under investigation didn't take notice of that. You know, I wrote in that piece today on Wednesday that, you know, it's not a matter anymore of a shoe dropping. New York State, when it comes to corruption, is a shoe store, and every shoe is dropping.
So how come the stupid jerks don't pass meaningful reform of the legislature, like limits on outside income, which we all know is the way they make out like bandits?
It's a good question. I mean, you know, they don't want to give up their jobs, especially in the Senate, who opposes that. They don't want to close the LLC loophole that allows businesses to go around the contribution limits by creating these LLCs that can give much higher donations, and you can create unlimited numbers of LLCs, which means you can pretty much give unlimited amounts of money that you want to.
Okay, if I have a choice, Ken Lovett, I'm going to say limit the outside income, because if you start with that, you really will. Some people will quit the legislature. They won't afford. They'll say, well, I can't live on $100,000 a year, 79 theoretically, but by the time you're done with all the Lulus and everything else, it's about 100.
Now, to play devil's advocate,
please,
and I'm not even sure I believe, but the argument on the other side is there are laws on the books. Shelley Silver just got convicted to 12 years in federal prison. We've seen a slew of lawmakers get anywhere between 5 years and 14 years over the last decade. You know, the laws are there. At some point, New Yorkers have got to wake up and start electing representatives who are, have, you know, you can't legislate morality all the time.
Hey, Ken, it's all a shell game. So they go to the boss of the Bronx, and they make him the boss of the assembly. Mm-hmm. So now Boss Hasty from the Bronx and Boss Hasty of the assembly. And they get a guy who will say no on their behalf. And they all sit there with their white shirts on, prim and proper, and say, hey, wait a second now. I'm for cleaning this place up. But they get that guy. They elect a guy who they know will protect them from doing that. That's what it's about.
Oh, and what you end up seeing is the assembly will block certain things that the Senate wants, and the Senate will block certain things that the assembly says it wants. But in reality, nobody really wants the stuff. And so, you know, you get to blame everyone.
They'll pass two separate bills.
Exactly.
And then they'll,
and
say,
we did it, but, you know, they didn't do it.
Yeah, but you know what? I think the people are getting wise. I hope the people are getting wise.
Well, we saw in Long Island the special election, you know, for Dean Skelos' seat that was vacated on his conviction. The Democrat won, you know, running on a thing about ethics reform.
And even there, the Democrat was under some scope himself for his campaign having gotten some money, maybe a little hanky-panky.
Well, through the same kind of county committee stuff that happened upstate. So, look, you know, and you know, you go back to de Blasio, who says, well, I want to change it, I want to clean it up, but, you know, I'm not going to leave myself vulnerable, and so I'm going to play by the rules that are in place. And that seems to be the fallback position of Andrew Cuomo when he says, oh, I want to, you know, I want to close the LLC loophole, but meanwhile, he's the biggest recipient and beneficiary of it. So what does he do? You know, I want to close it, but I'm not going to unilaterally disarm. That's the big thing we hear.
Well, we see over and over again that the people are dissatisfied. Yet, in the afternoons, we have a program on public radio called Vox Pop. Mm-hmm. If we do anything on Trump, every line is filled, anything having to do with Trump. We did one. I did one with the brilliant Blair Horner the other day. I had on ethics reform. I had to beg people to call. You know, people don't really know much about Albany.
People don't know about Albany. You know, I think part of the, and I kind of said this in my piece today, part of the problem is all this corruption has not only made New Yorkers cynical, but it's also made them tune out. And I know I've used this on your show plenty of times, but I just keep going back to it. The last election, you had four people, three state lawmakers, one congressman, all sitting lawmakers who were under indictment and still got reelected. All four are now out of office because they ended up being convicted. But, you know, the public, that used to be a game changer. That was you were done. If you were under indictment, you didn't even run again. Now you get reelected under indictment. The public just doesn't pay attention anymore. I don't know if it's scandal fatigue or they're just so fed up that everyone does
Or they like their own guy.
Well, there's always that.
And they've always liked their own guy. So anyway, Ken Lovett of the Daily News, you keep up the great work that you're doing. I'm so proud of you and what you've done here. And, you know, it's not easy to get people involved in this or to show it to them, but you've been doing this. Our guest has been Ken Lovett. He is the bureau chief for the New York Daily News. And Ken, when you come back again, there's one thing you said on the show that I thought was wrong. You referred to this as my show. I think we ought to start referring to it as your show. Ken Lovett of the Daily News, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.